We're back. It's been a crazy month. I'm not going to lie to you. A lot happening in the news. A lot happening at Flood Law. We have so many different cases. I will say this. We got my brother in crime, Todd Perkins, coming on. We're going to talk about briefly Hank Winchester, who I, for a million different reasons, was falsely accused of whatever skullduggery. He's exonerated. We're going to talk about that briefly. We love Hank, and Hank, you know, from my lips to God's ears to making it happen, he's back on WDIV. We got a lot of other things to talk about. I will say this. Anyone that wants to talk about a great flick on Netflix, Jimmy Johnson, the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, my. That was intense. We got a lot of stuff in the news. We filed a big lawsuit against CMU. We want to talk about that. Dean Brown, a great pitcher, has to had to step down. Basically, is now at another school. He'll be great. We got a big crew in from Flood Law, and I'm excited. We're going to talk to them after the third segment tonight. We'll be right back just after this. Big show tonight from Behind the Bench. We're back. You know, what would this show be without, you know, some sound and some love from Todd Perkins? Brother Todd, you with me, baby?
I'm always with you, man. I'm always with you. And I've been seeing, you know, something. I am so proud of you this past week. I've always been proud of you, but I really, you know, saving lives one at a time.
Yeah, you and I do the same, only you do it at a much higher level many times than I do.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
No.
I'm not going to lie to you. No one needs to know how – well, we'll skip that for now. I got to tell you, you know Hank Winchester. And
oh, man, a great guy. You know, the one time he's done so much for so many people, right?
Yeah.
And that's in his profession, he's found a way to help people, not just report the news. And you became Hank for Hank. You and Neil became Hank for
Hank.
Well,
I got to throw in Noel Friedman. Noel Friedman out there.
Yeah,
God
yeah,
bless
yeah.
Noel. He did a yeah. lot of work. He's such a modest, humble guy. God bless him.
Yeah.
He did it. But you had three guys. Yeah, you know, fighting for Hank. We had Neil, myself, and Noel going at it. But you said it, right? You said it. Hank has done so much for
yep.
so many people and for voices that will never be heard, right? Like things,
mm-hmm.
the gifts, the mitzvahs, the things that he's
yep.
done for people that no one will know about and the true character of this cat. What blows me away, and you know, I've heard it from sheriffs, I heard it from prosecutors, I've heard it from police officers. There's so many times, oh, you believe what every witness is going to tell you? You're going to put that – how many times have cops lied? How many times have witnesses lied?
Oh, my goodness. You're dealing with one right now that's magnetized proportions. But, you know, here's the problem I have with Hank's matter. And I'll call it a matter because it was never a case.
Right.
A matter. You know, the scourge of it, we have to continue to champion that this man has done nothing. You know, and that's what I am happy about, the news doing a story on a person who's been vindicated, not exonerated, vindicated. You know, and we need to continue to do that because it's, you know, it's a taint, man. I mean, this guy's a nice dude, man. You know, he's just... He's a decent man. He's just a good guy. And, you know, you hear a lot of people say that. So, you know, it just – I was upset about it. I've been praying for you. And, you know, once – you know, I when it came out, I saw that you were on it. And I was just been praying for you guys to
– God bless you.
You know, just – but, yeah, we have to continue to make sure that, you know, when I see him giving the guy a hug, it's just to let him know he's loved by all
yeah.
of us. But – you know, we just have to continue to say that. And hopefully, you know, you can keep on going. And he's held his head up high and strong. And
yeah, he'll
you know,
do great things.
He'll
continue to do great things. I got to say this. And you know, this is something we need to put in our arsenal. We need to tell all the prosecutors and all the cops this. This is something Todd Perkins needs to have. It came from Mitch Albom. I'm stealing this from Mitch Albom from yesterday. The okay. trumpets have to be louder when you're vindicated
yes. Yes.
than when you're accused. Right?
Right. Absolutely.
Mitch is, you know, a phenomenal writer and genius in mind.
Absolutely.
But when said that, I was thinking to myself, how apropos, how true. We always heard, where do you go to get your name back? You know, you've been accused, you've been through the rickets. Where do you go to get your name back? And he put it so succinctly, we got to have the louder trumpets, basically, right, when you're vindicated than when you were accused.
Well, amen. And it also takes, your support team, like what you guys, you did a whole layout. They did it's a great story. It's a great end of a story. Well, it's the end of the public part. But, Hank's still got to go rebuild.
That's right.
I'm talking about emotionally, spiritually, I'm sure his career will be fine, but, that it takes a toll, man. You age significantly.
Oh, gosh. I agree. But this too shall pass.
No, it will.
It will. I got a case that came up. Dean Brown, he's a pitcher, freshman in high school. Think about this for 1 second. Tell me your thoughts right out of the gate. Pitcher throws a 90-mile-an-hour fastball out of high school, 90 miles an hour. I don't want to stand in that batter's box with that cat. I'm good at slow pitch. But anyway, make a long story short, he goes to a game. He's in the last game of the series against Kentucky. He's at CMU. The assistant coach comes up to him out of the blue and lays into him a punch that would have made Bobby Knight and Woody Hayes look like they're weaklings. I mean, hit him square in the chest in front of everybody.
And then
they try to bury it. I got to talk to you that, behind this this segment.
Oh, no, we've got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. We got to talk about you. We got to talk about the journey you've been through, man, because I know it's big. All right, brother, I love you. We'll be
right
back.
See you in a minute.
All right. You got to love Link Bessert, man. He's always giving me like, dude, it's going to be okay. We're going to be fine. It's going to be okay. So, Brother Todd, I was telling you about Dean Brown, my CMU pitcher. And he was an 18-year-old coming into college freshman year. It was the cover-up because he reported it up the chain, and then they benched him. They put him on the Pines. This was a guy that could make the minor leagues every day of the week, twice on Sunday. I mean, he was being scouted for that. Now he's kind of put into a position of, he's got to start all over again. But we are coming upon, if I wanted to be a multimillionaire, we are coming upon the college season. Coming upon the college season where moms and dads are going to have tears going on big time because they're letting their kids go away to college. They think they become adults, right? They're 18. How many MIPs change the trajectory of kids, right? Minors in possession of beer, alcohol, shots at the old sorority or fraternity house, and the next thing you know, they're being shipped away with the MIP ticket. Two cases, school, CMU, tries to cover it up. I can't get into it deep because my complaint's there. I'm not going to talk heavy about it, but it's the bigger global picture, one. Two, what would you tell to all the moms and dads out there right now?
So, you want to stay in touch with your kids. My son's a junior at Howard, and he just left, and, I call him, at least a couple times a week. But, you want to check in. And then when they're playing sports, they're also traveling. So,
right.
It's a little bit more, vigilance. And you want to be not a helicopter parent, but you want to, because your relationship is maturing into an adult father-son or mother-son relationship or mother-daughter for that matter. But you have to stay in their lives. You have to stay, organically in their lives, not forcing it because, if you have a great relationship with your kids throughout high school, that's going to just do nothing but get better. And you want to be there for them when something like, you know, this is, you know, jumping ahead. You know, I just, and I know you're, I'm probably stealing your words, but you know something, it's the cover up is worse than the crime.
Yeah. You know, amen. Just,
you know, and then to treat a young man like this, these are kids, you know, we now know that the brain is not fully formed until at least 24, 25 years old. So these right. are kids. These are kids. And I don't want, I'm not, they're adult age, but they're kids. And you're going to treat this man like this for doing what he thought was the right thing to do?
Right.
So, I you know, what I tell parents, just stay in their lives. You know, stay in their lives. And, you know, sometimes they don't want to hear from you, but you make yourself known. You call them. You know, I don't call my son at 11 o'clock on Saturday night unless it's maybe his birthday or something. But I call him during the day, check him out after he may have gone to watch the game. And, you know, how's the homework? But, you know, I want to know. What, you know, what's going on, particularly if you're playing sports, because you have so much more exposure to the student body, to the general public, to, you know, to, you know, depending on what level you're playing at, to boosters, you have all this exposure and all this new exposure. And sometimes, you know, if you can make the trip, go, you know, you go to the games. Imagine if his parents, I don't know the story, but what if his parents are at that game?
Oh,
you know,
right,
it's just,
right, right. It's beyond belief. But you know what's wild here is this. You and I together have represented the same players in mm-hmm. the NFL, in the NBA, in the National Baseball League. We've had all of them. We've had every league, right, that we've represented a player, major league, you know. So at the end of the day, and we see that these players get targeted. They get a bullseye on their back. I'll never forget my running back out of Miami. I'll never forget. He was going to be drafted to the NFL, and someone targeted him, wanted to set him up, wanted to take his money, right? You know, it happens all over the place. And so what I teach and what I try to give on every level, the rookies going into the NFL, is you got a team around you. You got to love that team. You got to trust that team. You got to be a brother to that team, a sister to that team, whatever it may be. You got to have each other's backs, and you got to have your head on a swivel because, you know, there's people out there that, you know, you got to be careful of, right?
Absolutely.
You know, so here you would
that
never think
would
it would
coach.
Be the coach. You never think it'd be the assistant coach of the team.
Yes.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
Think so much alike. We think so much alike, man. Oh, my goodness. And that's, you know, because those are the people that you're trusting, you know, essentially with your lives, your careers. You know, because a coach can make, you know, a coach who really pushes a student athlete, he can get him that extra tryout. You know, he can get him into that front office meeting.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, they impact the entire, you know, trajectory of their young lives at that point.
We just taught this kid what HR means in the real corporate world. Human resources is not for the employee. It's for the employer.
Right. It's CYA. You know, it just really is. And it's so unfortunate. But, you know, even in a corporate world, we're talking about adults. And it's not fair there when it happens there either. But this is, you know, this is a student athlete.
Yeah.
I saw that and I winced. You know, I played college ball, so you know, I just know what it was like when, you know, you're on these trips and you know you can find these coaches and, you know, it would be different if, you know, he apologized, because right now, what you have right now, is a situation in which. That, you know, the damage control that CMU needs to do, you know, I don't get it. I know only what I've read in the paper. Not anything you've told me, and I don't want to know that because.
Right. I'm not going to get into it beyond that, but yeah.
They need to do damage control immediately. You know, they need to stop, you know, because it gets nothing but worse dealing with a lawyer like you. It's just not going to, it's not going to be good.
Not going to be good. None of that's going to be good. I got a case coming. I got two major cases. I got one coming up against Interlochen coming up. I got, you know, there's just so many crazy cases. But I have my stepdaughter, Addison Sweggles, who's going to Rutgers. And I got to tell you, Addison is beyond her. She's an old soul. She's a brilliant, beautiful, Jean. She's going to be a great actress. She is a great actress already. She graduated from Interlochen Schools.
Okay.
You know, and now she's going up to the acting school within Rutgers. But I got to tell you
congrats.
Something. Yeah, I got to tell you something. First and foremost, I already miss her. I'm going to be emotional about it, one. Two, you know, Brunswick, not the greatest place as far as outskirts. Rutgers is a great school, but, you know, the outskirts scares me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, you know, and her mom, I'm sure, is going to be, even though she already did this once by letting her go, you know, away for high school, she's going to be a basket case in tears. Here's my daughter, right, going away. Every parent goes through it, and it's letting go to that adult spot, and you're just praying to God great decisions are always made. You know what I mean?
Right.
And being in the wrong crowd, the wrong place, the wrong situation, and they're completely innocent, and yet they get hooked up with something. That's what always scares me, just because
it
of the sandbox.
But here's the thing. Comfort yourself in this. If you made it to where you are and I made it to where I am, these kids are going to be all right. You know, that's what I have to
ain't
hope
that
for,
the truth,
for.
Right?
And, you know, I wish I could make my kids. My daughter's 17 today. Her birthday is today.
Oh,
and
happy birthday.
You know, my son's birthday is next Wednesday. So he's off to college. And, you know, since he's been in college, we haven't been able to, you know, celebrate together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing about it is next year, it'll be the first time that we won't. So we're going to try to figure out something that we can celebrate both their birthdays, because she wants to go to Howard too. So we'd have two kids at Howard. And but no, I wish I could just make them 3 and 6 again.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Times to remember, right? Soak it all in.
Absolutely.
Soak it all in. Listen, my man, I'm going to be back with you next month. I love you, bro. And
love you too, brother.
I'm proud of you. I'll be back with you.
I'm prouder of you.
Stop it. I'll talk to you. We'll be right back just after this with Behind the Bench. So one of the biggest positions in the city of Detroit, in the state of Michigan and the Midwest, is who's going to be the mayor of Detroit. And hands down right now, it was like a TKO in the first round. We have with us tonight none other than the Honorable Mary Sheffield. Ms. Sheffield, how you feeling, and what are you doing right now? What are you doing this very minute?
I am out canvassing, just pounding the pavement, boots on the ground, connecting with our residents, and I feel great. Our message has resonated well with Detroiters, and we feel very confident and very proud of the work that we've accomplished, but we're not taking anything for granted, and we're still trying to meet and reach Detroiters where they are.
You got to run like you're 10 points behind, even though you're 50 points above. So
always,
right? Isn't that like kind of the mantra of anyone running for politics? You got to run like you're running behind, but even though you're above. So
it should be.
Yeah. You know, I remember when Mike Duggan was out doing the organic stuff as an, you know, someone that wasn't even on the ballot, going door to door, meeting in backyards, all the like. You're doing all that?
I'm doing all of that. We've participated in over 25 forms during the primary election. We've also hosted several, and I don't even want to put a number out there, but home tours as well, where we've been over to people's neighborhoods and in their homes to talk about my vision for Detroit. And we're continuing to do that. We're actually launching right now, starting next week, our block, or I should say district by district town halls, where we're going to be going to each city council district and hosting a forum where they have the opportunity to come out and talk to me, hear my vision for Detroit, but most importantly, listen to the concerns and the challenges that residents believe that we have facing us moving forward in Detroit.
God bless you. We have over 100,000 Detroiters listening to this station at like any given time, especially this show with Behind the Bench. If there was one message, one thing that you would want to say to all the people that listen to this in the city of Detroit, what would that message be?
Well, I first want to just say thank you. It's been an honor to serve the last 12 years here in Detroit, working alongside Mayor Duggan to be a partner in the growth and the progress of Detroit. But we know that there's still much more work to do, and I never get comfortable with what we've seen. We know that our neighborhoods are in dire need of investment, that we still have issues around public safety, our educational system, and housing in Detroit. And so I would say that I think at this critical moment, we need proven and experienced leadership that can ensure that we are continuing the progress of our city, but most importantly, making sure that it moves deeper into our neighborhoods and reaches more people. So I believe that I am that candidate. I am that leader in Detroit that has a proven record of building coalitions and partnerships. And I will say that today it has been an honor to receive the endorsement of the current sitting mayor of our city, who has been serving for 12 years and knows the intricacies of city government, to lend his support and his confidence in me being able to continue the great momentum of our city. So I believe the best is yet to come, and I'm excited about this journey.
You know what? It's a no-brainer to me. I mean, let's just face it. The numbers, there was such a spread. That's huge. Yes. And I hear the chihuahua in the background, so I know you're on the streets back there, yes, just stomping all over the place, reaching out and grabbing hands. But, yes, you know, the biggest thing to me, and I was a prosecutor. I worked in the drug house unit. I worked for Mayor Duggan. The biggest thing for me, is taking these homes and the outskirts that were blight, or, you know, where you had a rape or you had a drug sale or you had something terrible happen, a robbery or whatever the case may be. You had that blight in that outskirt. The biggest thing for me is taking those skirts of Detroit, those spots, the pockets of Detroit, and turning them into gems, because there's so many citizens that live in that place, in those places, that need the love that downtown Detroit, they're not access to. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's what you're going to do it. You're going to be, I already know. I mean, unless it's yours to lose, unless something crazy happens, it's yours to lose. But if Astro comes down and hits you in the head, I just don't see you losing it. But that being said, that's where I want to see the city of Detroit grow.
I'm right with you. I'm right. I think that's a great point. I'm right with you. I mean, you know, we've invested a tremendous amount of support and attention to downtown and midtown. But in order for people to actually come and live and raise families in Detroit, we have to eliminate the blight and rebuild our neighborhoods and invest in some of the blighted structures, rehabilitate those that can be saved, and really create a place for families again. So I appreciate that comment. And listen, we don't take anything for granted. So every day we're counting down. We're out here canvassing and connecting with voters. So
you go make it happen. All right. Well,
I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you. We'll be in touch.
Okay. Have a good one.
You too. Well, I mean, you can't get far from that. I mean, right there. I mean, she's out on the street right now. It's 7:38. You heard the dogs barking, right? I mean, she's out there knocking on doors, making it all happen. I got to tell you, I got some of the Flood Law group with me tonight. You know, I got a guy, a repeat offender, Joey Tess from Grozeal. You know, he's an habitual. Joey, you with me, big boy?
Yeah. How you
yeah,
doing
he's
tonight?
A golfer. I send him out to the golf out. He's Kyra Newman, U of M grad, no dummy, gives me a harassment all the time. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Todd?
I'm good. I'm good. You having a good time at Flood Law?
Oh, of course.
All right. You know, you remind me of a lot of, you know, anyway, I'll take the harassment. It's all good. And then we got my brother Ryan over here. Ryan is a lawyer, was down in, what, D.C.?
Yeah, yep, D.C. and Virginia.
D.C. and Virginia, did some prosecution work down there?
Yep, I was on the criminal defense side of things.
As a criminal defense attorney, sometimes we say we put more people away than we did as a prosecutor. No, I'm teasing. It should never be repeated. But at the end of the day, welcome to Flood Law. You just joined.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, no. We're excited to have you. And then you came up here, did some employment work for a firm.
That's right. Representing workers who had been discriminated against, wrongfully terminated, any kind of injustice that we see very commonly happening with these bigger companies just mistreating their employees. And I was just happy to help wherever I could.
Now you're with Flood Law, and candidly, are we working you too hard yet?
No, you can never work me too hard.
No, that's
not possible.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, well, I got to tell you, great crew. We had, I think, you know, how many people did we have working for us this summer? We had a big crew. How many people? It had to at least be 12 interns.
Mm-hmm. 12 interns, at least 20, 25 in the office every day.
Yeah. Yeah. From all over, from, you know, Texas A&M, Alabama, U of M, Wayne State, DCL, or U of D. There's no more DCL, Michigan State University, right?
Don't forget, I was at Arizona State, too.
Oh, you were at Arizona State?
I was.
Yeah. Is that where you learned to play golf?
The facilities that they have out there are top tier, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We sent Joey to all the Floodlaw golf outings. Amongst other things, he does do work in the you know, field here for us on the legal side of things, and he's going to be a great lawyer someday. We're going to be right back just after this with the crew from Floodlaw. And I want to talk to you all about, when we get back on the other side of this, I want to talk to you about what's it like, one, to go to law school, two, this is a big time of the year. It's emotional for me, a big time of the year for sending our kids off to colleges and law schools. We'll be right back just after this with Behind the Bench. We're back. You know, it's, I don't know, the summer seems to be going by so quick to me. I didn't get to play enough golf. I didn't get to a lot of things. I don't know. I just work too much. But I think, you know, we have had some insanely amazing cases that have come into Floodlaw. Everything from, you know, catastrophes of people that, you know, have died too soon because of a wrongful death, explosions. We've represented the women in the EMU case. We've represented women in the Nassar case, the Dr. Anderson case. We've worked with some amazing lawyers, Mike Cox, you name it. I'm going to say this, and it's a tease. It'll be out next. It'll be out on the 1st of September, but Floodlaw is adding on 3 amazing lawyers to our firm. I can't give out the names right now. They're coming from silk stocking firms and probably some of the best trial lawyers in our state. And they're switching sides. So they're going from the defense side to the plaintiff side to our side. So I'm excited about that. But that being said, I got to talk to my crew here for a little bit just to give everybody just a little taste, a little nibble of what it's like to work at Floodlaw. Kyra, you've been working on a major case in our firm, probably a case that I've thrown the most money at right now, and that's the Huron Valley case with the women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over 850 clients that we have now that we're representing, so things are pretty busy, at least in that corner of the office.
Yeah. I mean, individually, it's not like a class action lawsuit. We represent all these women individually.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know the names and the faces and talk to them on the phone.
Oh, and in person. I've met with dozens of them throughout the weeks. So
have you ever been into a prison to meet a client prior to your experience here?
Not in person, but my entire time when I was at the University of Michigan, my specific area of research was the women who are serving life and long sentences in the state of Michigan.
Right.
Since Huron Valley is the only women's prison in the entire state, there's a lot of, I guess, skeletons in their closet that I was able to learn more about.
Right, right. But this is the first time you've actually been able to go see them and talk to them in person.
Yes.
And get their life stories that way.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? So I keep on, you know, visualizing you've made an impact in so many different lives. I mean, that's once in a lifetime experience because you're not, you know, changing trajectories of humans' lives. So, but I keep on thinking about the young 21-year-old girl that was having a baby in prison, and there was a male prisoner filming her while she was having this birth.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine. I mean, I'm sickened by it. I'm a male. I'm a guy. I can't imagine it from a female. I mean, did that shake you to your core when you heard her story and talked to her?
Oh, yeah. I mean, being a younger woman in this day and age, it's no secret that sometimes things happen to you without your consent or without your knowledge. So knowing that she had such an intimate and worthwhile moment taken from her without her consent at all. She had no say in what was going on, and she was welcoming, you know, a child into the world. That's something that can't be replicated or shouldn't be taken away from you in that very special moment. That first time that you get to meet the life that you created was tainted, forever tainted.
Right. Well, the stupidity to me is what prophylactic measure is there for the Department of Corrections to film this so that everyone else can see it potentially? What is she going to escape? What is she going to get out of the bed, the stirrups? You know, how is she going to, where's she going? Why are you going to film it? I don't know. Beyond me, that's unconscionable. But your experience there, my daughter Emily, you got to meet her this year.
Oh yeah, she's great. I love her.
Yeah, and well, I do too. She's amazing. I tell her all the time, thank God she got her mom's brains. But that being said, you got to go with a lot of younger law students and the like to go to the prison, and I'm sure you guys had some insane conversations that I was not privy to listen to the stories and understand what you're dealing with. You're dealing with humans and their lives that had to make a big impact on you.
Oh, yeah. This is something that I don't take for granted. I'm very grateful that I get to learn from these women and get to speak with these women and actually create relationships with them. I let them know all the time that they're not just a number to me. I want to get to know everything about them, and I'm not there to judge them for maybe mistakes that they've made in their life, because I'm one mistake away from being in the same place as them. So I don't take my position for granted.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but for the grace of God, there go I, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we got brother Joey. Joey, second year, UAD, lost, I got to give a shout out to his grandfather, T.D. Flood, you know.
Oh, he's going to love that.
Oh, no. That guy's cool. How old is T.D.?
His 78th birthday was this past Saturday.
Past Saturday. We got to get him some Flood Law, swag.
Have a lot of merch coming in soon.
Yeah, so yeah. We got to make sure that he, yeah. Well, maybe Link, too. We'll get something for Link. I don't know if we got anything big enough for Link. What are you, XL double? Yeah, we'll get you something, bro. So, the fact of the matter is, second year, you got a big third year coming up. What are you studying the third year? What's the first quarter of the third year? What do you got? Con law two?
Got con law, business organizations, business crimes. I have a sports law and a narcos class coming up.
What's a narcos class?
Guessing it's
drugs?
Yep.
You got drugs? You're taking a drug class?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's going to teach that?
Probably
a U.S. attorney.
Richard Broughton.
Okay. All right. Good. That's exciting. I got to tell you, that's a full load.
Yeah, I think it's 16 credits right now, 5 classes.
That's heavy. We won't see you as much. We still expect to see you, but we won't see you as much.
I'll make sure I'm in on Friday still, for sure.
All right. So let me ask you this. I just stopped out to one of my clients' house last night that was in the victim in the Oxford shooting case, and his brother is going to UAD law school. They had like an orientation class, I just remember when my first year going to law school, it was like learning Greek. What should all these freshmen learn or expect? You were just there.
Well, you can expect to show up and think that you really do know something, but you don't know your left hand from your right hand, pretty much. You're relearning how to completely think about everything you read, see, hear, and it's a lot to take in at one time, but if you do actually put the time in, put the effort in, grind it out, everybody that wants to be there will still be there.
You know what? I believe that to be 1,000%. You're an athlete, so you know what it's like to have drive. You know what it's like to have heart and passion. I truly believe athletes and law school can go hand in hand, just because you know what sacrifice is. You know what it's like to have that on the gridiron, right?
Yeah. And UD has been a good spot to be too. That's a tremendous experience. I've enjoyed and learned a lot so far. So
that's cool.
I'm excited for this last year.
That's cool. What big case have you worked on?
Oh, man. I mean,
too many, right? But there's one that's made an impact on you. I got to believe it's Dwayne.
Yeah, 100%. being able to hear the story, hear what happened, and actually kind of see the work that we've done come to fruition so far. So,
yeah. Dwayne is our client. Many of our listeners have heard about. He spent 12 and a half years in a prison cell for a crime that was never committed. That's going to be a game changer. We hope to get him remuneration and paid, and I don't know how you do that, because it's the justice in that case, and they want to fight it. That's what blows me away, when you got perjury on the stand. But anyway, you've been a huge help on that. My man Ryan, our new lawyer in the firm, coming from D.C., Virginia, you've already had several cases I've dumped on you. Make sure you're working. You getting enough hours in?
Oh, almost too many hours, I think.
Oh, let's not get carried away. Never enough hours, right, Link?
That's
if you
true.
Represented Link, you're going to be working until the midnight hours, man. You got to be making it happen.
For Link, anything.
Yeah, right. So we gave you a case to work on that deals with the jails out in Berrien County.
That's right, Ms. Shuppelman. Yes, she was working as a nurse out there inside the jail.
Yeah. What happened in that case?
Well, she was doing what she could to help the residents of that jail as much as she could, and the officers just made everything as difficult as they could for her, constantly making comments about how old and slow she was, making threats that they would basically get her fired from the jail if they don't do what she says, locking her out of patients' rooms that were in wait for very necessary medication that she
Not
was supposed
crazy.
To give them.
Not crazy.
Here's
the thing about it. If they did it right, we'd be servicing the people that would get out and be contribute to society, be an asset to society.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, treat them with disrespect and not make sure that they had the medications necessary. But Ms. Shuppelman, God bless her. You have to love her, man. Every time I talk to her, she's always got the best of attitudes and gives the most encouragement for someone that was dogged so bad by a prison system.
I love hearing from her. She always has something fun and interesting to talk about with me.
Well, you guys have been great. We got to make sure we do this again. We got to get everybody. I don't know. We got to get everyone to come in from the firm. You
I
know,
think
all
that's
the
a great
years.
Idea.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. We'll do it. So I got to say this. My twins are going back to college, U of M, Michigan State. My stepdaughter, Rutgers. I'm so bummed out because I'm going to miss her tremendously. And my oldest, Justin, God bless him, at Loyola Medical School. We'll be back next month behind the bench.